Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good evening, Washington, D.C. Good to have you with us here on a Tuesday night in the nation's capital and beyond. 106.7 The Fan, the radio.com app, thefandc.com/listen. And the good news is you don't just have to listen to me drone on and on and on and on and on and on incessantly.
Ta-da!
Hi, it's Hoffman. He's still here, ladies and gentlemen.
I actually haven't been here that long. My shift started at 6 on the updates. So it's not one of these where I did like 2 p.m.
Right.
to 10.
Yeah, those are long shifts. By the time you get to 7 o'clock, your brain is like
even
melted.
Even the hockey
like
players would go, hey, that's a good shift.
Yeah, yeah, that's like a 2 minute and 15 second extra power, like 4 minute minor type power play shift or something like that.
We've killed off a couple power plays.
Exactly.
Between us.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm currently hungry. Which I feel like is how I've started every show recently.
You know, I did hear you do, I don't know if it was your last solo show. No, it wasn't because you were here, what,
Sunday
after
my weeknight show last week, yeah.
Exactly, and I happened to be bumping around somewhere. I forget where I was going, and the first thing out of your mouth was how starving you were. And, you know, usually I bitch and moan about traffic and parking and construction.
Being hungry has become my thing.
And you are, hey, it's 6:30. I can't function without food. I need food. And this radio show is going to suck until I get food. Is that fair? Is that an accurate description?
So yeah, that's pretty much how that show went. I think I did okay, actually, until I got the food. Oh, eventually I got some, I think it was some Jamaican food, Uber Eats, which is the website I'm on right now.
Nice.
Again. But I think I did all right topic-wise and held it together. I was going to say, though, so two things. One, I should have gotten food at some point in the last hour and a half that I was here.
Right.
Because it's very easy to walk to Kava or a number of
it
other
is.
Places between updates. The problem was my phone was ringing nonstop. I've been on the phone for most of the last hour and a half between updates. So that killed that. And I should have just walked and talked, but I didn't because I'm dumb sometimes. Two, we always make fun of you for having the bag and 1,000 things in it. And it is right now that I realize the precarious situation I'm in is worse. I don't have a bag full of things to consume. And look at me.
I should also point out that oftentimes the bag does have things to consume, i.e. food or drink, because I'm cheap and...
What other things do you consume, Chris?
Well, nothing.
I don't know. You said food or drink. And it was like...
I'm just simply saying that sometimes there's deodorant, there's Axe body spray, there's stuff to make me smell better than I normally do, right?
Okay, that's not stuff you consume. Got it.
Just
I'm saying
food or drink that I consume. In addition, then there's other stuff. Then there's ibuprofen, and then there's this, and that, whatever. Headsets, all that stuff. So I would say this. I way, 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 way over-prepare. There's no questions about that. And you probably under-prepare. Is that fair? Is that accurate?
Yeah, especially a day like today, because I left my house at 11:30.
Yeah, it's a long
and
day.
Went to lunch in Ashburn, met someone for a workout in Northwest, and then came here. So I figured at some point, I planned on picking
lunch
up food.
Lunch in Ashburn, huh?
It was a friend. It was not.
Oh, okay.
It's not a Redskins.
I thought we were still doing cognizance.
I have some Jordan Reed info.
Okay, good. We're gonna get
which
to
I
that
shared
real
with
quickly.
Dukes earlier, but we will.
I
get
did
there.
Hear some of that. Yeah.
But I will rehash that. So I do have some Ashburn info.
Okay.
It did not come from lunch with my friend Lauren.
Okay, good. Did you have a good lunch?
Oh, we did have a great lunch.
Where did we go?
We went to Nando's.
Nando's. Peri-peri thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I've never eaten there. Is that good?
It's very good. It's also sitting in front of me as an option on Uber Eats. Not going to be what the choice is, but we will keep everybody in the loop.
You're not going to do the double dip. Okay.
No.
We're going to find out what Hoffman is going to eat. I've got a bunch of spicy chips over there that I just investigated on Darris's desk or the table in the control room. There's about 6 bags half eaten of every spicy, hot, sriracha-type flavored chip that you could possibly fathom.
I think I'm good on those.
Yeah?
Not that
just
I'm anti-good spicy chips, just I need a meal.
Okay, gotcha. I have leftovers from 3 days ago that are sitting in the fridge. So, all right, we're not going to talk about food all night, although there was something that I did see about Burger King and French fries. We got to examine that because I haven't been to a Burger King in a while.
I haven't either, but I'm down
but
to investigate.
But I saw a picture of it, and I said, man, that might be something that we have to talk about and examine and get to the bottom of things. But we will get to Jordan Reed in a little while. First, there's a couple of big stories. As the boys from Crashing the Net, we're just talking about, obviously, the Capitals make a big trade. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Would I have eaten yet?
Yeah, the impact for a team that desperately needed it. He gets a day or two of practice here before the Capitals play another game Thursday night against Montreal at Capital One Arena. We'll have it here on the Fan. I'll be with you before the game and then throughout the game, at least on social media and all that good stuff. And we'll have you covered, of course, if Ovechkin gets to 700. We will get to that later. But, Craig, we first start with Greg Olsen, who spurned today the Washington Redskins and the Buffalo Bills. This is not just a he spurned the Washington Redskins thing and it's same old, and I heard this question asked of J.P. Finley on with Dukes. Is this a Redskins thing? Is this because of the bad culture? No, actually, just the opposite. He spurned a very good culture as well in the Buffalo Bills, which ironically has been rebuilt by people from Carolina that spread their wings under Ron Rivera and have done it presumably the same way that Ron Rivera is going to do it here. Why? Because they came from Carolina and from Ron Rivera. So he spurned two places that he was very, 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 very familiar with, the personnel and the coaches and the front office staff, to go do what? Try and win a championship and to play with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out what you just did, which is that these are two places he's very familiar with because he knows all the people in Buffalo. Sean McDermott, who was the defensive coordinator in Carolina, Brandon Bean, who's the assistant GM for much of Olsen's tenure in Carolina that left a couple years ago and have built the Bills into a multi-year playoff team. And, of course, Ron Rivera and the 800 coaches he brought with him from Carolina to D.C. So he knew what he had in terms of coaches, but I think he also is smart enough and knows the league well enough that he looked at Seattle and just goes, I don't have much time to do this.
Yeah.
It's not about being buddy-buddy with these guys. I need to win, and I think Seattle can win.
There is no doubt that Seattle is better prepared to win than the Redskins. There is some question that you could ask and say, hey, is Seattle absolutely, absolutely, clearly better than the Buffalo Bills? I think the answer is yes, because of Russell Wilson, right?
Yeah.
Yes, because Pete Carroll's been doing it for a long time, and he's got to be a fun guy to work for. And, oh, by the way, while the environment in Buffalo, and you were there, I went to school there, so I saw Rich Stadium, now New Era Field, used to be Rich Stadium, Ralph Wilson Stadium, during its absolute heyday. I know that joint can rock, and I know Buffalo loves its football team. But there is probably no place that is as enthusiastic and loud and energetic as Seattle's CenturyLink Field, especially when the Seahawks
been there multiple times.
Are in it.
It's a
blast, right? Absolutely. Yeah. So
it is loud.
There's those things. But, Craig, here's the one thing that I wanted to ask you about, and maybe I missed it driving in, so I apologize if I missed it. I know Schefter reported that he signed a one-year, $7 million deal with, I believe it was $5.5 million fully guaranteed or guaranteed.
Yep.
We don't know the other two offers yet, right? And
we
that
don't.
Could be a reason why he also chose Seattle.
100%. That's a lot of money for Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
It's not an unreasonable amount of money, but that is the kind of money you spend on a player when you're like, this dude could be the key to us winning a Super Bowl. Where we need one more piece. You know, the Tyler Lockett thing's been amazing there. We need to get Russell Wilson, someone else. Jimmy Graham is good every 7 weeks, and we can't risk that one of those other 6 weeks is the playoffs.
Right.
And so I think Olsen's a better blocker as well for a team that needs to run the football a little bit.
That's a good point, too.
And, you know, better than Jimmy Graham. He's not exactly a world beater as a blocker.
Right.
But better than Jimmy Graham for sure. And so I think that they look at that and go, we've got the defense. We've got Bobby Wagner. We've got all these dudes on that side of the ball. How do we make Russell Wilson's life a little bit easier? This is how we do it.
All right, now the question is, at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067, as we just get rocking and rolling here on a Tuesday night in the nation's capital with Craig Hoffman, I'm Chris Russell-Darris on the other side of the glass. Is this, how screwed are the Redskins right here, right now? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I'll ask that same question to Mr. Hoffman. We'll ask it to you next. 800-636-1067. How screwed are the Washington Redskins now that Greg Olsen has said, no thanks, on the Fan? Night, along with Craig Hoffman, I'm Chris Russell. Good to have you with us here on a Tuesday night, 800-636-1067. You guys are already loading up the phone lines. We'll get out to you in just a sec. We're talking about Greg Olsen deciding to spurn offers from the Bills and the Redskins. And again, the easy thing to say is same old Redskins. How could they not get this done? Ron Rivera, Pete Honer. And that was, quite honestly, Craig, the reason why I was leaning towards the Redskins, not only because of the Rivera thing, but his position coach in Carolina, who he signaled out, as he should have, when he said goodbye to the Carolina Panthers on Twitter, he mentioned not only Rivera, but also him. And I thought, man, you know, if you're a guy who's probably entering the final year of his career, you want to do a couple of things, right? You want to try and win a Super Bowl, one, okay, obviously. And two, you want to work with people that you know you get along with and vibe with. And so I stupidly, I guess, leaned more towards the Redskins.
I don't know if it's stupidly. It just is a matter of what is important to Greg Olsen. And clearly what mattered to him above all else was not playing for a position coach that he felt comfortable with and one that he knew. It was, hey, I got ring. One sole focus, ring. Mm-hmm. And he thought the best way he could get a ring is to go to Seattle. And so he did.
And it's hard to blame him because not only with... I mean, because of Russell Wilson is why you have that chance of the ring. But sure, it's not like he's just joining a team that has a great defense and a pedestrian quarterback. Meaning, like, other teams that don't have great quarterbacks have chances to win and win big, as we saw with the Tennessee Titans, as we've seen with the Buffalo Bills, as we've seen from time to time with other teams. You can win other ways, but it sure damn helps when you can run the ball like they can for the most part, and when you have Russell Wilson, the magician, the Houdini, and, oh, by the way, Pete Carroll. And while that defense is nowhere near what it used to be, it's still pretty active and it's still pretty spry. And what, they win 11 games this past year? So, yep. I mean, again, remember, if the contract offers were somewhat similar and maybe Seattle's was even better, then it really wasn't a decision.
Right, and remember, they were a yard.
Yes.
From being in a very different playoff position.
Correct.
With that tackle that gets made by Fred Warner on the 1-inch line in week 17 in game 256.
Good
so
point.
That is a real contender in Seattle.
800-636-1067. Are the Redskins screwed right here, right now, before we get to the calls in 30 seconds a minute?
No. Greg Olsen is not the only tight end option out there, and he's not even the best tight end option out there, even if he is a good one. So I don't need the full 30 seconds.
Oh,
no, they're not.
Wow,
screwed.
I gave you a minute, and you got it done in about 15 seconds.
Boom, I get stuff done, Russell.
All right, I'm going to save who you want for after the top of the hour. Let's rock and roll on a couple of calls here. 800-636-1067. Let's get to Neil in Columbia. First up in the leadoff spot on the Fan. Hey, Neil, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for making it, Neil.
Sure thing. First, Jimmy Graham's been in Green Bay for 2 years, so Greg Olsen isn't exactly replacing him in Seattle.
They've really struggled, just real quick, they've struggled to replace him in the last 2 years.
Right.
Like, they brought back Luke Wilson after Oakland cut him this year.
Yeah. I think your point originally was that they didn't have anybody to replace Jimmy Graham up until presumably now.
Well, I'm not sure that's right. Will Disley was a touchdown machine before he got hurt each of the past 2 years for them, which shows that Greg Olsen's going to have a nice role in their offense. But I'm glad he's going to Seattle. The Redskins don't need to sign 35-year-old veterans now. And, you know, maybe Craig was going to get to this, but there are better options out there. Austin Hooper and Hunter Henry are eligible for free agency, and I'm pretty sure that Austin Hooper's not going to get re-signed by Atlanta because they have big cap problems. So I'd much rather see them go with somebody who's just eligible for their second contract rather than a 35-year-old veteran who's had injury issues for the last at least 4 years.
Yeah, it's a great point, Neil. See, I've kind of leaned towards Los Angeles, the Chargers, probably going to franchise Hunter Henry, even though he's had some injury issues. And I thought originally Atlanta would probably try and secure Austin Hooper, even though, as you correctly point out, you've got big contracts to Matt Ryan, Julio Jones. It looks like they might let Devontae Freeman go and other, you know, and other pieces just to give Matt Ryan, their most productive unit on the field, a security blanket that every team needs, as we've all chronicled. So I just... I mean, if Austin Hooper is out there, I think the Redskins certainly should be interested, right, Craig? Then there's
that's also Eric Ebron. Like, it's so essential for a young quarterback to have a tight end, especially in this offense. We've seen, you know, how important it was in Jay's offense, but we also saw how important Greg Olsen was to Cam Newton in Scott Turner's offense, and North Turner's offense, but with Scott. And the reason is simple. Like, this is X's and O's 101. The easiest pass in football is the one that's over the ball. It's the one that's right in front of the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Who runs the most routes over the ball? Tight ends.
Absolutely.
So it is really essential to have a quality tight end and to get someone who can, if you can, get someone who is versatile enough to block.
Yes.
Is huge.
Hard to
find.
Because
it makes you more unpredictable offensively. And Hooper's got a little bit of that to him.
Right. Do we know how good
I don't know how great he is as a blocker, but I don't
he's,
I mean,
adequate,
he's been,
at least.
He's been a part of a pretty damn good running game.
Absolutely.
In
absolutely. I gotta do some work on that because I was kind of thinking, so you don't think he'll be tagged in any way, or is
Hooper in Atlanta? No, they can't afford it.
Right. Okay.
They can't afford to do that.
So I mean that might be your number one choice. Let's do this. Let's take a time out here at the top of the hour. We'll get to Jonesy in D.C. Also want to get your thoughts on Eric Ebron. And there are other guys that are available, certainly that the Redskins can work into the fold here. The question is, Redskins fans, are the Redskins screwed? Now that Greg Olsen has bypassed them for Seattle, and it looks like the team is going to get a divorce of some sort from Jordan Reed here, and we already know Vernon Davis is gone, and no offense to Jeremy Sprinkle and or Hale Hinchis, but they are rotational guys. They are backup guys. They are not starters by any means. And, oh, by the way, it's a weak crop for tight ends coming out in the draft. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Join us. Are the Redskins screwed now that Greg Olsen is on his way to Seattle on the Fan? Well, you should always go. Go west, young man, or old man, if you're Greg Olsen. Old in terms of football context. 35 is obviously not old. But Greg Olsen spurning the Redskins and the Buffalo Bills for the Seattle Seahawks. Greg Hoffman and I continue to discuss and debate where the Redskins can go from here. We just talked about a couple of the names at the top of the free agent class because, Craig, I assume you would agree, being that it's a somewhat weak class at tight end in the draft, there is no T.J. Hockenson that's going to go top 10.
Or Noah Fant.
Or Noah Fant or anybody
like
that.
Like the top 3 to 4 tight ends in last year's draft would be all the number one tight end taken.
And one of the top ones, Thaddeus Moss, Randy's kid from LSU, a lot of people think should be a, you know, if he loses 15 or 20 pounds, should be a better, you know, should be a receiver as opposed to a tight end anyway. I'll leave that for how others evaluate. But the bottom line is we discussed Austin Hooper. We discussed Hunter Henry. Eric Ebron's another name that's out there. And if you get the Austin, if you get the Eric Ebron in 2018, you're going to get a stud. If you get the one that was banged up a little bit last year, had his year cut short due to injury, and oh, by the way, didn't have Andrew Luck favoring him in the offense, then you're going to get, well, basically a little bit of a disappointment, right? But the potential, the talent is there. We know he's not going to be franchised. We know he's available. We know he's got, again, potential to not only be good, but to potentially be great. And I think this is what has been missing in this offense. I mean, we talk about running the ball, passing the ball, the wide receiver, quarterback, all that's great. But they were great in the red zone in 2015 when Jordan Reed was on a freaking bender. Since then, not so good. And when you have a great tight end, you can be really good in the red zone.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what they hope to be with Vernon and Jordan. And obviously, Jordan's injury screwed up everything because Jordan is something that we'll talk. We'll double click on this more later, to borrow a term from Grant and Danny. But we're not talking about Jordan Reed the right way. Jordan Reed might be the best tight end in football when he's healthy. And I understand the when he's healthy part has become more important than the first part of that sentence.
Right.
But like, we need to like stop and pause before everyone just pushes Jordan Reed out the door because he's that damn good.
Yeah.
As for Ebron, he's got a really high ceiling, but I mean, he's kind of been the same guy. Like he's not Jordan. He had 13 touchdowns in that one insane year in 18, but other than that, he's got 5, he's got 1, he's got 4, he's got 3.
And that was with Matthew Stafford for a large part of his career.
Very pass-happy offense.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that he'd be a bad signing. He's better than what they got. He'd be better than what Vernon was last year and maybe the last 2 years. But don't sign Eric Ebron expecting 70 catches and 10 touchdowns because he's never, even in the monster season in 18, he only had 66 catches on 110 targets.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hell of a lot of targets.
That's a Terrell Pryor ratio right there.
That is a great pull by you.
I mean, what was that like? I don't know. I don't remember the numbers. It was like 70 catches on like 135 targets or something like that. And then we all found out why. Alligator arms and then some. All right, so you're not – I don't want to put words in your mouth. It doesn't seem like you're in love with Eric Ebron.
I'm not gonna be in love, I think, with any of these options. I don't even know, like, depending on what it costs,
I don't know.
I'm in love
with
Hooper.
Are you going hard at the tight end position in terms of cap dollars and cap allocation, or are you trying to basically piecemeal it together?
I don't know if I'm ready to answer that straight up. Because it depends on what
on who it is.
It depends on who it is and depends on what else I can get in the draft and everything, which is hard because free agency comes first.
Right.
I think it's not a great draft. Right. I think you have to spend some dollars here. I mean, yeah, if you feel like, look, there's some sleeper tight ends that we love in this draft, and we're going to go hard and we're going to spend money on a wide receiver and we're going to spend money on a corner and we're going to spend money on a free safety and we're going to figure out tight end in the draft, but McLaurin is so good and this other receiver we get are so good and our running backs are so good that we can survive with some really solid blocking tight ends who can move a little bit,
right?
Then I don't think that's a crazy thing to do. I think option A, plan A for me would be get a guy like Hooper, Ebron, someone, and figure out, okay, I want grade A tight end, grade B tight end, plus a rookie later in the draft to develop.
Right.
Maybe even a high upside guy, or maybe just a guy who doesn't have that great of hands but can block his ass off. And then you go hard at receiver in the draft with, you know, your third round or something like that in a draft that is sick and deep at receiver. You need a lot. That's the problem.
I mean,
this team needs a lot.
I mean, I think the answer for me, right, just off the surface, now that we know Olsen is not coming here, is I don't think you go hard, like throw, you know, $50 million in terms of total contract on a Hunter Henry, as good as he is. I don't think you go crazy after an Austin Hooper 4-year deal, $32 million overall, and I'm just shooting out some numbers here, $20 million fully guaranteed. I don't go there, especially with all the questions on offensive line at three different positions, especially with the receiving talent that we think this team has, which you kind of just alluded to, and all the other holes that they have. So I'm not going for the cream of the crop top part of the class. If I'm doing that and then I can't get an Ebron as a second option or a second-tier option or a 1A top option, then what I'm going to do, I think, is go after, like you said, kind of somebody that can block better than they have had here, quite honestly, in a while. And that means block a lot better than Jeremy Sprinkle. Certainly better than Vernon Davis and Jordan Reed. And I'm going to shore that part up and spend my money that way, and then, like you said, hope that I can find Jared Pinckney out of Vanderbilt in the third or fourth round. Again, mentioned Thaddeus Moss. There's some other kids. The kid from Stanford might be a good pass catcher. I forgot his name off the top of my head. That type of thing, as opposed to just going just ham on, again, Austin Hooper and or Hunter Henry. I guess here's my,
so
here's my question.
Here's another, like, on the third tight end thing. Mm-hmm. I wonder, Jared Cunningham was here last year.
Right.
He's a perfect third tight end.
Yes.
He was a phenomenal blocker.
But he hasn't been able to stay healthy.
No, but I'd keep him in camp.
Yes. Oh,
I'd
agree.
Keep him around for sure. Here's—I
was going to ask
And Hale Hinches, I would keep around.
I think Hale Hinches showed a little something.
I think he can be a third tight end.
Yeah.
Here we are in the middle of February talking about third tight end.
That's
but
what
this
we do.
Is our life.
So here's my question: saying what you're saying there with Cunningham and Hale Hinches, assuming Cunningham is healthy, right? I don't remember what he went out with, knee or something,
concussion.
Or whatever it was. Oh, concussion.
Bad one.
So hopefully
I think he might have actually had a knee injury too. I think he got both.
Okay. So hopefully he'll be okay. We just don't know at this point. The question is. I mean, you can carry, obviously, extra guys into camp and in the preseason, four or five guys, whatever it is. But ultimately, Jeremy Sprinkle is by no means even, like, a pretty good lock for that third tight end spot in any way, shape, or form. And the question then becomes, are they so desperate that they take, say, Hale Hinches and Sprinkle and one other person, I don't know. All right, let's do this. Let's take a timeout, and then we will get to your calls. Craig's going to go do some stuff and make himself.
My food's here.
See, I heard that when Darius said, your food's here. I heard, we got to take a break so Hoffman can go get his food. I'm going to come back and talk to you guys until Hoffman gets back with his food. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We'll also update you on some of the issues with Jordan Reed as well, right here on The Fan. All right, good to have you with us. Just before 8:20 on The Fan on a Tuesday night. We're with you until, 11 o'clock, I believe, right? Is that correct? Yes, Darius, thank you.
That is correct.
Craig Hoffman, I'm Chris Russell, a.k.a. The Rooster. Darius Dameron on the other side of the glass, and you are you at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Coming up in a little while, Craig has some new information on Jordan, or at least some clarification on the Jordan Reed situation. As well, we're examining, are the Redskins now screwed, being that Greg Olsen has spurned them? Doesn't seem like maybe screwed is... They're in a precarious situation. Screwed might be strong, but, we always ask a question that is a leading question to get you guys involved. We'll get to Nate Knox and Hill in just a little bit.
You went really hard on that. I was going to
It was just a question. I was just asking.
One tight end who they were interested in signed. Are they dead?
No, I'm asking the question to provoke response. I'm not saying that they're screwed.
It worked.
I don't think they are screwed because of the sheer nature of Olsen being 35 and essentially being a one-year deal and a guy that has been banged up. Right now, everybody gets hurt, or most people get hurt at some point in this game. The question becomes, is who do you target, and now who do you go after, and how hard do you go? Because I think as we've correctly identified and talked about, like, if you go hard after a tight end, Hooper, Hunter Henry, assuming that both or none or whatever are free, true free agents and don't get a franchise tag, then you're going to probably cost yourself somewhere else, like immediately, where you're not going to be able to fill all of your holes, whether it be corner and free safety, whether it be all the different linebackers that you might need because nobody... I don't know if they have the answers that you need to run a 4-3, and I know we're going to debate that, or we will, I'm sure, get into that at some point, or whether it costs you Sheriff, Eric Flowers, who
Here's
knows?
The thing, though.
I mean, there's all sorts of impact that we don't tangibly know right now.
Right. Some level devil's advocate, some level this is kind of where I'm at right now. They got money.
Yes, they do.
They've already got $55 million in cap space. Right. They move on from Jordan. They get 60 plus. They're like
it's 62, about 62,
63.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
and that's with Alex Smith's 21 and a half.
Right. It's not like you then have to go spend 30 of that on a quarterback.
Right, right, right.
Like, they might spend 8 on a quarterback. So, if they spend, let's just make these round numbers. If they spend, hey, Chris Russell.
Hi. Sorry. I'm having all sorts of problems
you
with
are
my computer.
Just, your audio,
I am a
your
disaster.
Audio is all over the place.
Yeah. I should just
important because it's an audio medium.
Yeah, I should just hit the mute button is what I should do. And I
which
took
you've
it
done
off
now.
During, I took it off during the commercial break when you ran downstairs. Mm-hmm. I was screwing around with my mute settings and I forgot to put it back on and damn it, it got me again.
There we go. What was I saying?
We
were going to do math, which is...
Yes. $62-ish million.
So let's say they have 62.
Once they move on from Jordan Reed, roughly $62-ish million.
Okay. So let's say they spend 10 on a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They go after... They go big, right?
Yeah.
They go... I don't know if you can get Bridgewater for 10. But,
no. But you
let,
can get Marcus Mariota if you want
okay,
to.
Okay. Let's say
10,
they go
probably.
Mariota for 10.
Right.
Right? They spend... We'll even give them 10, 12. How much is Austin Hooper going to cost you?
In the first year of a multi-year deal, I would assume he probably comes in as a cap hit of $6 million, maybe $5 million.
Going to cost more than that
in the first year of a structure. Usually, the first year is a
true.
Lot lower than.
Okay, so but let's be
I mean,
be
you
reckless.
Might be able to take on more
right.
in the
say,
first year, which would balance out the rest of the contract.
Let's give Austin Hooper 10.
Sure, which I think is high, but. Let's just say
so now
eight.
We still got $42 million
right.
to sign a corner.
Yes.
Let's give Bradbury 10.
Yes.
12? You're going to need to spend 12 on Bradbury.
Bradbury's a little bit overrated, but.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not necessarily in disagreement there. He's been good.
Yeah.
So let's give him 10. All right. Who's your number one free safety option?
Well, it's not Monte Nicholson.
No kidding.
The kid from San Francisco.
Is Tart a free agent?
No, not just Quiskey Tart. The other starter, Jimmy Ward.
Ward.
Who was better as a free... I mean, he can play everywhere, but he was better as a free safety this
How
year.
How much is he costing you?
$8 million a year?
Okay, so that's eight. So now we've just spent 38 or 48? $38 million, I think. Those are four players.
Yeah.
And we got a tight end, we got a veteran quarterback, we got a free safety, and we got a corner.
And now you still need to secure three-fifths of your offensive line. One way or the other.
Well, Trent, you have leverage over. Trent, you're playing on this, right? So
assuming that Trent
he's already accounted for.
Right.
They're not giving him more money.
No. Well, I mean, that's what I mean.
And if
that's
let's say
the,
even
that's
they do,
the question.
Let's say they do. Mm-hmm. That's not 15 million. Let's say they bump him
it's
up
not,
to 15.
It's not higher
it's
than
3
50,
million
right,
more.
Right, exactly.
All right. So let's give Trent 2 million more. Now we've got an even $40 million that we've spent.
I'd prefer that they don't extend Trent Williams and just guarantee more of 2020, which is not guaranteed at all.
Sure, but then
and just
it's still
move
12.
Up that date.
It's still 12.
Right, but
right?
But what I'm saying is I'd
sure.
prefer that route as opposed to
sure,
extending
but that,
it
my
down
My point
one.
Is that money's accounted
right,
for.
Right, 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 right.
So now we spent $40 million and we've got
all right, we
a
haven't
lot
counted
of that
Sheriff
stuff.
And we haven't
we
counted
haven't counted Sheriff.
So that's
but here's also what we
million?
Haven't done.
Cap
we
space?
Haven't spent a single draft pick on any
Correct.
Other position.
Correct.
So the point of that is we overpaid for everybody. We still can make it all work financially. Yeah, you're starting to run a little bit short,
mm-hmm.
but there are also, I think there are other moves. We still haven't taken Kerrigan's number down.
Yeah, yeah.
And we haven't spent, well, you have to have money to sign them. That money's somewhat accounted for anyway. It's essentially slotted.
It is rare that the Redskins have this much cap space,
right.
especially with the $21.5 million albatross that is... Quite honestly, Alex Smith's
yes,
number, right? Which
100%.
Is essentially dead. I mean, there's a slight chance it could help them out. But, I mean, I don't remember the Redskins ever having more than $30-ish million
well, you also
at max.
Have to adjust for inflation, so to speak.
Sure.
And the salary cap is a lot more than
sure.
it is now. But that's kind of the point, is in the NFL, you get to a point where you're not that concerned about it. You sign the players you need, yes. If you have to go big at tight end, it's going to cost you somewhere else. But I don't think they're in such a precarious situation that it's really going to cost them a player. I think the guys that they want on the top end, they can afford to go pay.
That's more than fair. They do have a lot of room, like I said, that they normally don't have. Let's get to Nate Knox and Hill here before the bottom of the hour, and then we'll get into the Reed stuff and everything else and some of the things that we just kind of touched on. Nate, how are you, man?
I'm doing fine. First time caller.
Good to have you aboard, Nate. What's shaking?
I think we have someone in-house. We have Cam Sims, who is a wide receiver who they know how to use. Have good size, good hands, and can block because he's from Alabama.
Well, I don't think just because maybe you're from Alabama means you can block
and
automatically.
Cam Sims does not have good hands.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Cam Sims has.
That's the problem.
Below average NFL wide receiver hands.
Yeah.
But thanks for watching the preseason.
I mean, listen, I like Cam Sims. I think Cam Sims can make some plays. But Craig's point is absolutely correct. As a matter of fact,
he's also skinny as hell. You can't bulk up Cam Sims. Like,
but I think
Cam Sims is rail thin.
I think from his rookie year, in terms of what I saw in camp and in the preseason, he's gotten worse catching the football, right? I mean, not better. He's gotten worse.
Well, he didn't have a lot of experience in that rookie year, so there wasn't a whole big sample size. Yeah, he had a nice
camp
in the preseason, and then, he's...
But even in camp,
he barely played at Alabama.
Yeah, I know.
And I know they're loaded and all, but, like, he couldn't get it on the field.
Right. Well, that's why he was undrafted, obviously.
Right.
That were part of the reason.
Right. He's got some raw ability, but he ain't a future talent.
I don't think, not only body-wise, but I don't think if a guy is struggling to catch the football fundamentally, then you want to start, converting him to a different position. I understand the sentiment, but I would rather do what I mentioned about 10 minutes ago, roughly, is, and just using this as an example because I was talking to somebody today, take a Thaddeus Moss and, hey, dude, lose 15, 20 pounds, which is not easy to do, obviously, but make him, go the opposite way as opposed to asking a wide receiver to bulk up.
Yeah, that doesn't really typically go well. Like you've seen Niles Paul really struggle to make that transition. Like, unless you're used to inline blocking, that is a different world in there.
And Niles was adequate at it when he was healthy
in terms
of inline blocking.
Was extremely willing.
Yeah.
He wanted to get in there and mix it up.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he was good at it.
Absolutely. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Greg has some updated information on Jordan Reed and where we go from here. We'll tackle that next. And as well, one thing I think is really important for us to, we're just talking about salary cap space. I mean, the Redskins could open up a lot more if they really want to. If they really want to, with one specific player. Get Hoffman's thoughts on that. Get your thoughts on it as well. We'll tell you what we mean. Coming up, 800-636-1067. Here's Hoffman, not on the Hoff Rex, with the bottom of the hour flash. Greg Hoffman, Chris Russell, we're with you until 11 o'clock right here. Watching a little of this Pittsburgh-Toronto game. It was 2-0 Pittsburgh. I believe with a win, I could be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure I'm right on this, but with a win, Pittsburgh would vault over the Capitals for the lead in the Metro and therefore the Eastern Conference. I could be slightly off on that, but it's 5-0 now. Yikes. I'll double check that. I probably should have checked it before I brought it up. But
I'm not even trying to make fun of you. Like, I hate when it's like, oh, here's the thing. Words are coming out of my mouth. This is the thing I could have looked up in the commercial break that just ended, and now I'm saying this on the radio and taking you with me on this journey, journey that I don't know where it's going to end.
Here's the thing. I saw it earlier today, and I just want to make sure that I'm right in remembering what... Yeah, 78 points, Pittsburgh entering today.
Of course you're right. You're Chris Russell. And, what are you ever...
I almost
got through that.
I mean, I'm right a lot.
Yeah.
I'm wrong a lot, too.
Yeah. What a weird...
Sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong.
Sometimes.
I mean, here's the thing. You know, when it comes to news breaking and all that stuff, sometimes you're going to make a mistake or get led the wrong way, whatever. I try and be, as vigilant as I can.
Of course.
But with opinions and analysis,
you're going to be wrong sometimes.
You're going to be wrong sometimes. And guess what? If I was right all the time, you know where I wouldn't be?
Here.
Right here. Right now, as Mauve Levy used to say. Marvelous Mauve. Where else would you rather be than right here and right now? All right, I don't know why I'm doing this weird voice. But anyway, Pittsburgh is up 5-0 over Tonto, and they are going to leapfrog the Capitals for 80 points they'll have after, unless they blow this, and the same amount of wins. We'll get into the Capitals trade in a little while. But you had, before we get back to the calls, you had some updated information on the whole Jordan Reed situation, because it is a little bit confusing. And I had a question that I wanted to ask you to see if you know the answer to. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know the answer to it, so I'm just going to ask
it. I don't either yet, because you haven't
told me
the question.
Reaction. All right, but I want you to get me the stuff you found out or learned first, and then I'll ask my question or questions.
So here's the latest I have on Jordan. He has kind of come to the realization, like, it's over in Washington.
All right.
He kind of is in that way also looking forward to a fresh start somewhere else. And so he would like to, like, when the release eventually happens, he'll go, hey, thanks, got it.
Mm-hmm.
And he, just because of how things have gone, there's such a bad taste in his mouth with everything that's happened. It's going to be hard for him to, like, walk in that building and not think about all the concussions and yada, yada, yada. As far as actually getting cleared, he thinks he's figured out the final stage. His vision has been blurry
mm-hmm.
when he's ramped up stuff, and that's been the problem. And
as he's gone from one phase to the mm-hmm. other phase, and that's
right.
still now, as far as you know.
Because remember, early in the season,
He was practicing.
Yeah, he even got close
which
to
I
practicing.
Thought was very, very weird. Quite, and I remember asking you this. I don't know if you remember, but mm-hmm. I was like, something doesn't seem right here with this nasty hit he took from Keanu Neal right around August 22nd, roughly, and he's back on the practice field 10 days later. Something didn't seem right about that. And I know there's phases, but he was back on the practice field on Labor Day Monday. Mm-hmm. I remember that, and I was quite honestly very surprised by that. And and I know, again, there's different phases, but he was on the practice field that Monday. They had the day off Tuesday. He was back on the practice field Wednesday and Thursday, at least in a limited basis. And I assume you were there. I assume that meant individuals as opposed to, like,
yeah,
obviously
he never,
wasn't full.
He never got in the
right,
team.
Right, right, exactly. And then he was brought back the next week after missing the Philadelphia opener and still practiced on that Wednesday before the Dallas game, and that was the last time he was on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of weird, but
I think it's just interesting. I always, like, there's no normal for head injuries. And, you know, sometimes guys come back and they
right.
can practice a little bit and then symptoms kick up. He also mm-hmm. had a setback in there where something happened where he looked like he was on track. Like, he was going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he wasn't.
He was going to play the Philadelphia game or the Dallas game?
I want to say it was the Philly game, but it might have been week two.
Okay. So maybe the Philadelphia game,
like,
they just...
There was one of them where they were kind of surprised, like, things took a turn late
right.
in the week that they did not
yeah,
expect.
Yeah, well, the Philadelphia game maybe was the caution. Like, okay, like, he's making progress, but we don't want to go too hard, even though he's out on the practice field. So we'll take him off Friday and we'll sit him down, give him a little extra time. But when he came back on the practice field that Wednesday of game two, week two against the Cowboys, quite honestly, I thought too, from afar, I didn't talk to anybody, but I thought, oh, okay, well, this is probably going to be. And then he never practiced again. That Thursday and Friday, he was out. So something must have happened in that practice. Whatever he did that day, Wednesday, that triggered some sort of negative reaction, because we never saw him on the field again.
Right. And so what happened was, I don't know exactly what the mechanism was and what the turn was, but the symptom was his vision was getting blurry.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the thing that just never rectified mm-hmm. as the season went. And what they apparently have figured out since, after seeing some additional specialists, is, like, there was something very specific happening, and they were able to figure out what it was, and now they feel like they're on the road to fixing it, which is why Jordan has decided, apparently, he's told people around him,
mm-hmm.
I'm playing.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was, I would say, November-ish, when I had checked in with some of these same people, it was like, yeah, he's starting to really come around on fact that he's probably going to just have to retire.
Right, right, because I heard something similar to that
and,
as well, which kind of surprised me, because the Jordan Reed I know has always been, no, I want to play. But I was like, well.
And he still wants to. Yeah. But at that point, it's just like, man, yeah. my daughter's like, I got too much going for me.
Yes.
But inside Jordan Reed is a burning desire mm-hmm. to prove that he's the best tight end in football. Because when he's healthy, he is. All due respect to Kittle. I don't know. Kittle might have him. Because Kittle's an unbelievable blocker
right.
and is also a highly effective pass catcher. But, like, Kelce and Ertz, Jordan's better than both those dudes.
When he's
right.
As a receiver, yeah. purely.
And so I just think as we take calls on this, which we will in the next segment, like, you have to remember before you just push Jordan out the door, this dude's the best in the whole sport
mm-hmm.
when he's healthy, or the second best behind Kittle at a really premium position, who's a matchup nightmare, can get open whenever he wants, monster in the red zone, and it's, I understand the challenge of keeping him around, and I would not because of the risk at that number, but before you just push him out the door, let's acknowledge how great he is, and remember that in training camp, this dude was a bleepity-bleepity monster.
Let's do more than just acknowledge it, and I'm going to ask you a very interesting question, I think, on
okay.
the other side.
Okay.
And I want to see what you think. And we'll get to you, Jonesy, and DC, and others at 800-636-1067. I promise we'll get to you in just a couple of minutes. Hang in there. 800-636-1067. We're going to move on to some other things in the 9 o'clock hour as well. And I'm sure we'll get into the Astros and other things along the way. But we're kind of honing in on and focusing in on what Craig and I, you know, what we know best and what we're kind of immersed in more than anything else. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067 on the Fan. Greg Hoffman, I'm Chris Russell. 800-636-1067. Darius on the other side of the glass. Make sure you say hello to him and be nice to him on the other side when he answers your calls.
Or we'll come to your house.
Exactly. We'll hunt your asses down. Let's get to
I didn't say that. I just said we come. Perhaps we bring cookies. You don't know.
You want to bring cookies?
No, not really. I'd want to beat people up.
Okay. There you go. Wait. You want to beat people up? What are you?
They're mean to Darius.
Well, that's true. Who was it in baseball that said they wanted to beat all the Astros up? One of the players that popped off today.
They deserved a beating. Who was it?
It was Nick Markakis.
Markakis. Yeah. One of the most calmest, gentlest, nicest people in baseball wants to literally maim the Astros.
I've honestly never heard him in this tone ever before. He's the nicest guy when he's in Baltimore.
Right, I'm just saying.
You know, unbelievable.
If you had told me, pick a player in baseball. I want to go back to the Jordan Reed thing in a second. But if you told me, pick a player in baseball who would beat someone up for what the Astros did,
uh-huh.
it'd be Brian McCann, who was on the Astros.
Yeah. That's
apparently
not a bad
he
name.
Tried to stop it and yeah. just couldn't. And it just kills the whole, like, Brian McCann is such a tough... Like, Brian McCann would want you to think that Brian McCann would take on the entire clubhouse to stop the cheating scandal, and he'd go down in a fight to the death, and instead he's just like, guys, can you stop it? Because Brian McCann's a punk.
It's a weird voice that you just did.
My Brian McCann's a punk voice.
Okay. I'm with you.
Darius enjoyed it.
I'm totally here for it.
Let's go to Jonesy in D.C. On the Fan. Hey, Jonesy, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, Chris? WrestleMania, what's up, baby?
Jonesy, what's going on?
Hey, as far as the tight end, if we can't get an Austin Hooper, I wouldn't mind looking at kicking the tires on a Jacob Hollister if he's there, or maybe even a Blake Jarwin, man. I mean, you know, we just need somebody serviceable, but I'm like you. I want somebody that can do both catch and block so we can keep, you know, opposing defenses, you know, off balance of what we're trying to do. Because in Jay Gruden's offense, we were kind of predictable when Jordan was healthy and coming on the field. They knew he didn't block. So, therefore, all they had to do was pretty much play the defense, just had to be watch for him to catch. But when Jeremy Sprinkle come on, boom, they knew he wasn't going to catch anything. So they already knew he was pretty much trying to bulldoze through him to get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
So
Well, I think you bring up a good point. Here's part of the problem, right? As everybody kind of knows, I champion trying to run the ball, be balanced, all that stuff. But they have had nobody that can block on the edge or the perimeter. I mean, Sprinkle was supposed to help with that. Craig, I don't know what you think. Sprinkle's okay, right? I mean,
Sprinkle's not very good.
Okay. But as a blocker. He's
not a good blocker.
Right.
He's
okay.
Actually a bad blocker.
All right. So,
he was a blocking
okay
tight end
generous.
Who couldn't block.
All right. Fine. They have not had that person. I wanted them to go after the kid in Jacksonville. I forgot his name now. Last offseason.
Mercedes Lewis?
No, not Mercedes Lewis. He's a free agent this year, but I'll have to look it up. But he was a better run blocker, and I thought, this is a guy who's 26, 27. You can bring him in, not going to cost you a lot, and give yourself something that they don't have. And that's what I guess we were talking about earlier, is if you can't find the right pass-catching guy, can you find somebody? Now, Hollister, I don't know how good of a blocking tight end he is, but as Craig pointed out, if you're in that Seattle offense, you damn well better be able to block on the edge and the perimeter, period.
I'm with you on that.
So, you know, that I don't know if he's a free agent. He's only got 3 years, so he might be restricted. I have to double-check that. But thank you, Jones. Appreciate the phone call. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I think this call is going to upset Craig more than me.
Cool, let's do it.
But I think we're both going to be upset. Is that a good tease?
Sure.
Okay, let's do it. Tom,
hit the button.
In La Plata on the Fan. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Oh, all right. The Kool-Aid drinkers, man. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're sipping the Kool-Aid over here. As long as it's sugar-free, Tom, it's
Craig,
better for you.
It is. Listen, I know, Chris, that it can never upset you because you like to change your tune as times change.
Oh,
you
know, I know who this is. I know
that.
I know who this is.
You change your mind.
Yeah, I know who this is. Yeah, I know, Tom. You write down notes in your little cute notebook in your little diary, and then you call up and say, 3 years ago, you said this, and now you're wrong, and now you're a stinking fool because 3 years ago you thought this, but now you think something differently, right?
You're right. You always end up admitting, too, that I am right.
No, I don't. No,
hey, Tom, get to the point.
No, I don't.
Oh, I'm sorry. Russell was busy talking. I didn't get a chance.
Well, that's because you're an agitator, Tom.
I'm telling you how like it is.
Yeah,
Jordan
okay.
Reed is one of the worst blocking tight ends in football, even when healthy. He was never an elite
tight end. Yes, we know
that.
We know that.
He was an elite tight end. Yeah, you say now that you know that, but Craig still acts like he's so great.
No, you know, Tom, you're wrong. No. I'm not going to let you just inflate crap. No, nobody said he was an elite tight end as a blocker or as an all-around. He's an
still
elite
is an
pass
elite
catcher
tight end
and playmaker.
He's the best freaking route runner in the whole sport when he's healthy. And that is regardless
right.
of position.
Yeah, sure,
go
absolutely.
Ask,
absolutely.
Yeah, go ask people that played it. How many times have you been in that locker room and asked people? How many times have you talked to Landon Collins about that this year?
I'm sure that, like I said, you're the
How many times did you talk to Landon Collins about that this year?
He just doesn't produce. You can't run the ball with him. It's
that's
like
also
what the last
not true,
caller
but
said.
Cool.
When he's in there, you can't run because it's a dead giveaway they're going to him, and he can't stay healthy. You act like it's some great loss to lose a guy that's
you know my
never
favorite part
produced
of this?
For us.
That it's our show and not his.
As soon as he started talking, I knew we were in trouble. I didn't realize that was him. But
we're not going to give him more attention.
Yeah, he calls
about once a week, and he's like
say
what
an
I have to say about what he wanted to say and not let him be a stupid troll because I don't do trolls. Because if your whole point is to call this radio station and get a reaction out of us, I'm not going to give you that pleasure. Please find something better to do with your life. Jordan, it was not a horrendous blocker. He was not a good blocker either. He's a below average blocker.
Right.
But he also was a matchup nightmare. And corners couldn't cover him. Safeties can't cover him. Linebackers are hopeless against him.
When you put Jordan Reed in a 3-by-1 set inside the 10-yard line, it was almost unstoppable in 2015. When he was healthy.
And he hasn't been healthy since 2015. Yeah. And so all that stuff is fair.
You'd still take him 9.9999 times out of 10.
All I'm saying is, when healthy, he's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
If you're taking anything else out of that, you have a listening comprehension problem, and that's not my problem.
Right.
And I'm not going to let you waste everyone's time. This is the thing when I'm rude to callers that I just don't understand from other people. Did anybody else enjoy that? Nope. So let's hang up and let's move on. No more talking
let's
about
do
Tom.
It. We'll get to Robert and Culpepper after the top of the hour. And
who
you
probably
at
800-636-1067.
That guy, again, troublemaker. As soon as I heard the voice, I knew. Craig Hoffman's got the top of the hour update. And then we have more overtime right here in the nation's capital and beyond. 1067 The Fan, the radio.com app. Until 11 o'clock tonight on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.